This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri. Our guest today is Shuhua Yang, and she's been raised in China and has a PhD in Spanish literature and language. She was the first person in China, the only person in China at that time to have this degree. I was reading an essay by you in this book, Overseas Chinese, The Chinese Dream. Can you summarize that essay a little bit about what was it like living in communist China?
Okay. Before that, I need to correct a little bit thing that you said in the beginning. I was the second PhD in whole China in Spanish language or literature. However, I'm the first woman of Latin American literature of PhD in Spanish in whole China.
I'm the first woman, second
PhD in the between men and women, but first woman of PhD.
And what was life like that you encapsulate in this essay, brilliantly written, I have to say? What was life like before you came to America? You've been here 30 years, mm-hmm. but I was stunned by the hardship that you endured. So just tell us a little bit about that, because people do not know.
Well, I grew up when I was a very little girl. That was Cultural Revolution. There was no really formal education. And they make the, because I was good student, so I finished my elementary school in 4 years and went to middle school 2 years. And only one semester in high school. At that time, due to many reasons, there was no real classes, and I have my own family problem. I wanted to be independent. So I dropped the school. I was a high school dropper.
So, high school dropout, now PhD.
I dropped out. And then I started working as a boarding kindergarten or daycare teacher. During the day, I took care of the children, and in the evening, I tried to do a little bit reading. So in 1977, they started, the Cultural Revolution was over. They started the national exam, but I didn't dare to take the exam because I only have formal 6.5 years of basic education. So I tried to avoid the exam. So I bought a train ticket going to my father's village in Shandong. But the day before I left, my uncle came back. He was an engineer. He yelled at me, how can you not take the exam? He forced me to use that vacation time to stay home and study. I worked so hard because I always wanted to have education, to have book to read.
And you actually had to write novels by hand to pass them along and share books. You had to copy them by hand.
At that time, I was too young to write, but other people who wrote them. And people, because they couldn't publish. So people who love those books will copy and
word for word.
It's paper by paper with the ink. There's no computer.
A pen.
And then just copy. And we secretly pass the book as a treasure. I allow you to read for 1 week and you return to me and pass to other people.
Well, we are so happy to have you, and the fruits of your labor are many.
Today, the International Women's Day, so I think I would like to read one poem of mine. It says, "Don't ask me to be a white lady." There are many expectations in our lives. Out of them, the ones we women have to meet are very different from ones for men because we are women. That's the notes. Now I'm going to read the poem. Sir, please don't ask me to be a pure white lady who will mourn one day desperately behind her white veil. What is the scarlet that I have never seen? Please, I don't need to be a monumental statue seeking admiration from grandchildren to me. a statue who will wear a black tunic, pacing back and forth over the solemn Confucian tiles from left to right, south to north, lecturing incessantly, "Be prudent, prudent." I don't want to sing for any man, a shooting kitchen aria, spring, summer, fall, and winter. Four seasons when flames of the stove burn off my joyful palette of life, day after day, just to be a lady as expected. I refuse to worship the sacred woman's Bible, with its famous three obediences, which dry out every blood drop from this tiny body, just for the appearance of important foreign smiles, and for the need to play matrimonial scene. If I'm a little creek, please let me run between rocks deep in the mountain, tinkling, tinkling, fearless of sharp branches that might tear me to pieces. If I'm a naughty squirrel, please let me bounce up and down, climbing to the top of spring trees, catching clouds, and diving down to kiss the violet's mouth. If I'm a wildflower standing anywhere, let me flirt shamelessly with the sun, praying humbly under the summer storm, or dying happily in the winter's big snow. Yes, let me be the thunder. Let me be the showers. Let me be that crazy pig cart refusing to be a cow. Let me be every piece of me.
Shua Liang and her, we will call her Lucia, which is what we call her in America. What did it take for you to write that poem? How long did you have to grow and evolve until you got to that place?
It took me many years. I was born in a very traditional family where every woman I expected to be an obedient daughter, and you are expected to get married. And when you are married, you should be a good wife, cook and clean and serve the husband. And then when you're a mom, you should dedicate 100% of your life to your children.
But you've done all that. And then guess what? Now you're a naughty squirrel.
Yeah.
Climbing up the tree, as it says in the poem. And it's a great poem. You're a teacher. You're a poet. You're a translator. In fact, I wish you were the translator of these Spanish poets we're going to talk about, because they don't come up to your standards. And you have brought us your favorite Spanish poets. So let us start with Antonio Machado.
Mm-hmm.
Where is he from? What country?
Antonio Machado is from Spain.
And what years did he live?
I think he was born in 1875 and died 1939.
Would you read us a little bit of him in your own translation?
Okay.
Okay, first the English, then your own translation.
Okay. The English is my own translation.
Because you didn't like the other ones.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The English version, I keep the title, Caminante no hay camino. So the English would be, traveler, your footprints are your road and nothing else. Traveler, there is no road except what has been marked by your toes. Walking, you mark your own road, and looking back, you will see paths that you will never step again. Traveler, there is no road except the wake on the sea. Can I read the Spanish?
Yes, but let us explain the literal translation to the audience. He's saying that there is no real road except your own footprints.
Yeah.
And he compares it then to the ocean that washes these
mm-hmm.
away.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's hear the Spanish.
Okay, thank you. Caminante son tus huellas, el camino y nada más. Caminante, no hay camino, se hace camino al andar. Al andar se hace el camino y al volver la vista atrás, se ve la senda que nunca se ha de volver a pisar. Caminante, no hay camino, sino estelas en la mar.
You read that so beautifully. What didn't you like about the other translation? What do these translations, they sometimes just take the words one by one and just string them together. What did you try to do?
I think each poet has their own style. That this one is that it's a song, it's singing. It's that for me, Antonio Machado is like my old school teacher, talking to you slowly in simple words. It looks very simple, but tell you a lot of truth of life. So when you translate, you need to make it like go slowly and get that tone.
Then we should have another little taste of Antonio Machado.
Okay, this translation is not mine, so I'm going to read. I never look for glory or to leave my song as a human memory. I love the subtle words, elegant and delicate, like soap bubbles. I like to see them painted in sun and scarlet grain, soar below the blue sky, quiver suddenly and break.
And just read that much translation in Spanish. But you don't like it, do you, the Spanish translation?
I just think it's perfect. It explains very well, but I just don't get that tone.
It doesn't flow for
you?
Yeah. Okay. We could move on then.
Yeah.
So we have now talked about someone from what country?
Machado, Spain.
Okay, he's from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have brought us someone from Chile, someone who America loves very much. And who is that?
Pablo Neruda.
Now, the one thing that I think is wonderful, especially for kids in the classroom to know, is how he wrote so many odes. He wrote like 130 odes or something. He would write an ode to my socks, an ode to the rock, an ode to anything. What is an ode? It's just a declaration. It's just an address. It's just talking to something. So our kids can do that in the classroom.
Actually, I gave my kids a project. After we read this, they all wrote an ode to something, and it turned out so beautiful. They wrote an ode to their pen. They wrote an ode to their cereal, their breakfast cereals, which I think what he taught us is poetry is everywhere.
Oh.
Poetry doesn't need to be big sky. Can be anything in our life.
It can be an artichoke.
Yes.
So read us a little bit of his ode to an artichoke.
Okay. The ode to artichoke, I read from here in the middle. The leafy cabbage took to trying on skirts, oregano to scenting the wall, and the sweet artichoke there in the garden was dressed as a warrior. Burnish thy a granite and prow, and one day assemble with its fellows in large wicker baskets, it walked through the market to make it dream of soldiery come true.
And we also know Neruda, though, for his melancholy and mm-hmm. his love songs.
Mm-hmm.
So you would like to give us a taste of that. A little bit of that, and give us, he wrote 20 love songs?
The title is 20 Love Poems and a Song of Despair.
Just give us a little bit of that.
Sure.
First, give us a couple of the beginning and maybe in English and Spanish.
Okay. I'm very fond of his 20 love songs, so I will read the beginning and English, Spanish very shortly. Tonight, I can write the saddest lines. Write, for example, the night is shadow and the blue stars shiver in the distance.
Mm.
Let me read the Spanish. Puedo escribir los versos más tristes esta noche. Escribir, por ejemplo, la noche esa estrellada y tiritan azules los astros a lo lejos.
I just love to hear you speak Spanish. This is Lucia, whose name is really Xu Hua Liang, and She is from China, has lived here for 30 years and teaches in America and has taught at many colleges throughout the country. But what is singular about her is that she chose a literature which would speak to her and change her life. And Pablo Neruda is among them. Can you read a little bit more of him?
Yeah, this is the last one. I no longer love her, that's certain. But maybe I love her. Love is short. Forgetting is so long. Because through nights like this one, I felt her in my arms. My soul is not satisfied that it has lost her. Though this be the last pain that she makes me suffer. And these are the last verses that I write for her.
Do you read these to your students?
Oh, yeah.
And do they love them?
They love them, but you need to help them. Because sometimes it's so hard for them to get the spirit. So I read to them and we talk about it. And I even show movie about Pablo Neruda. So they start loving her. And for example, the poem that Walking Around is so difficult. But after I talk to my student, they really learn. And they start. A lot of students like his love poems.
I can understand mm-hmm. why. And they learn the Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
And how do you find your students with the accent? Are they pretty good?
They are pretty good. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of Hispanic students.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
And do they find it unusual that you are so masterful in the field?
I think they are very proud of me.
Oh, they are very proud of you.
Yeah.
I know I've seen some of the gifts that your students give you, and you're very beloved.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think you'd work very hard for them. Why do you work so hard to give them what you have?
I think I'm a loving mom. So I think for me, probably they are one of my thousands of students. But I'm thinking about their parents. Their son is their only son. So I remember those days I didn't have book to read. So I think this is their best learning time. I cannot let them waste their time.
This is the poet in the poem from the Library of Congress, and I'm Grace Cavalieri, and we're talking to Lucia, who is really Xuhua Liang from China, and she is a master of Spanish literature, which in its own right is impressive, but what is even more moving is that she brings to it the love and the spirit and something beyond the language, and that's what I care to hear about. What made you who you are? You were orphaned, your uncle raised you. Did you have enough comfort in your childhood, physical comfort?
Yes, my grandmother. She was almost like my mother. My mother was very ill. So when I was 2 days old, my grandmother brought me from hospital and raised me. And we slept on the same bed until I was 19, ready for the college.
And did she ever know of your accomplishments? Did she live long enough? No.
Not really. But she lived long enough to see I got my PhD.
Oh, that's important.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
Yes. And what drives you? Where is your fuel coming from? What makes you so tenacious, so hardworking? So I have never had anyone come to this program with 50 pages of material prepared. Just for an example. So what do you think? Is this a personal quality you have, or is it your situation or something you had to overcome?
I think it's I'm a person in disadvantage. When I go, remember 6.5 years of basic education, going to the best foreign language university in China, almost in Asia, and that's a university where they prepare for diplomas. So I had to work very, very hard to catch up. And when I came to this country, I was a foreigner. All my friends were Spanish, Puerto Rican. They all spoke the language. And they came here to study for PhD. Me, I didn't know anything. So I had to work so hard. That became my style.
Your style.
Mm-hmm.
And do you believe that this is a good thing for everyone?
I hope other people doesn't need to work as hard as I did. But I think I enjoy because the literature is now coming like helping me to go through a very difficult moment in my life. And I'm so grateful.
Now that is the point.
Yes.
That this literature that you teach mm-hmm. has been a guide for you.
Yes.
And has been a friend to you.
Yes.
And a comfort and a place of respite. Well, how is it that you translate that into your everyday life? I mean, do you bring to the work your own pathos? Is it something that you read it and you feel better but because someone has said something you feel?
I go back to the poem of Antonio Machado, and I think that always tell me, don't worry about other people say about you. Don't worry about how much you will have accomplished. As long as you are making your role, you should feel very proud of yourself.
And so some people would say, well, these poets are a little bit preachy. They have a kind of a message they're mm-hmm. sending, which is a lot, not quite what American and contemporary poetry does. But this has worked for you.
Yes.
You heard the message.
I heard the message because I came from a country where people always admire big figures. They always say, oh, he accomplished much, he's famous in that. But actually, Antonio Machado is talking to you from the earth, from the saying, it doesn't matter. As long as you keep working, you find your own role. It doesn't matter.
That is quite important mm-hmm. for everyone.
Exactly.
And I wonder why he's not as well known in America as some of the other Spanish poets. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. His style is very simple. Simplicity is his style. I was reading some article about him. He used the same word again and again. For example, afternoon, tarde. But it has so many meanings. If you don't take your time to sit down to get into his poem, you say, oh, this is so simple. Why he keep using the same word again and again?
So I wish you would translate more. Do you have the summer off from teaching?
Yes, but sometimes I teach the summer course in China. I might
go back.
Oh,
you do?
Yes.
And what do you teach in China?
This year, I plan to teach Introduction to Hispanic Literature.
Is there a calling for that? Is there a group that wants to know Spanish in China?
Yes, it's my university, the department. They need to read more. They don't know that much about literature.
Why don't we just read a little bit of Dario mm-hmm. and you tell us where he's from before we have a closing poem of your own.
Mm-hmm.
Who is he? What country?
Rubén Dario is from Nicaragua. He was very famous. People call him almost like the father of modernism. And he came from this poor country, but he wrote beautifully all his poem.
Give us a taste of it mm-hmm. in English and Spanish.
Yeah. The English said, song of autumn in the springtime. Youth, treasure only gods may keep. Fleeting from me forever now, I cannot, when I wish to, weep. And often cry, I know not how. I like to read. I just think the Spanish make more sense. Juventud, divino tesoro, ya te vas para no volver. Cuando quiero llorar, no lloro, y a veces lloro sin querer.
So you feel we've lost a lot in the English.
Yes.
Okay, that is the voice of Lucia, and we're going to close with her own poem. And she has written a series of poems in the voice of young people who are from the Mexican border, and they're crossing the border. Is that correct?
Yes.
I know that these were published recently.
Yes.
And you have several voices, so we're going to hear one of these voices. Mm-hmm. How old is Jose?
Jose was 10, and he was, when I saw the movie, he was at the detention center. He was a tiny cute boy crying, and that just broke my heart. So I wrote this. The title is Jose. Nobody would dare to drop your hand because the coyote dropped his hand when they ran away from the immigration officer. And that's why he fell into hands of the police of American immigration. So I'm reading now. Jose, baby, don't cry. The almond tree you used to climb is waiting for you to play under its high. Don't cry, baby. Your grandma has already prepared warm spring to heal your deadly wound, your bitter cry. Jose, don't cry. Who dropped your hand will be crucified by our Jesus Christ, your eternal spiritual guide. Don't cry, baby. The imbecile adult treated you as if you were a disposed dirty packet. I promise, the one who abandoned your innocent hand will cry the rest of his life, every single day and night, for his darkest crime. I promise, one day, one of these days, there will be a pair of hands coming to hold yours to let you shout and play as happy as that Jonathan boy in the other side of the infamous Rio Grande, our dirty tie. They will take you to the city of Big Apple, where you will learn how to recognize your strange parents and to assure you, as the sun will rise to kiss the cold sky, there will be a corner in this ugly world where unconditional love is waiting to hug you, to caress you, to let you laugh and cry as loudly as you might.
That was the voice of Xu Hua Liang. We call her Lucy. Finally, what did Spanish literature bring to your heart that Chinese culture had not provided?
The power of imagination. Dare to image and to say.
That is Lucia. This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. The series is produced by Forest Woods Media Productions, post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making this program possible. Funding is provided by the Witter Binner Foundation for Poetry and the Reva and David Logan Foundation and friend of poetry, Hiram LaRue. Our engineer is Mike Turpin. I'm Grace Cavalieri.